Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves us. And that's why they'll know we are Christians by our love, because of the great love that Jesus has given to us. His great love to feed us more than manna. This weekend we start a trilogy. And actually it's kind of a continuation from the last two Sundays, but this trilogy is special. This trilogy comes from Jesus' words from John chapter 6. Now, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago we started in Mark chapter 6 with Jesus feeding the 5,000. Last weekend, we had it from John where Jesus walked on the water across to the other side. Tonight, we continue now as Jesus is on the other side and as he speaks to us and he speaks to his disciples about he has come to bring us much more than just earthly bread, manna. So Jesus answered from John chapter 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're looking for me," Jesus says to those people, "not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Ah, yes, the bread of life. How many different kinds of bread are there? White and wheat and rye and pumpernickel and zucchini bread. And I mean, you can make bread out of all kinds of different things. Catherine put up there the cinnamon roll, too. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. There's also that gluten-free bread that they have here today as well. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," what is it that you think of? Or what do you think of when Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Tonight, as we start off this teaching of Jesus, this trilogy of Jesus, as he tells us lots and lots of things about the fact that he gives to us more than just the bread that we might think of, Martin Luther helps us out. Do you remember Martin Luther in that petition of the Lord's Prayer where we say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? And do you remember we say, "What is meant by daily bread?" And then he's got a whole list of things that are included in daily bread. Food and drink. Your house, your home, your money, your goods, spouses and children and rulers and government, even the weather. It's kind of hot today. Good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. When Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread," he's not just talking about this kind of bread. He's talking about lots and lots of different things, the earthly kinds of things. Well, Jesus comes and he gives to us daily bread. But he tells us tonight that daily bread is food that spoils. It's food, it's things of this life that can spoil. And so don't put all your interest and all of your time into getting this kind of bread, the stuff that spoils. Jesus wants to come and give to us so much greater. He says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." He's saying this to you and to me, but he said this originally to those folks that had been fed with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Remember that miraculous feeding that he did? 12 baskets full of leftovers. It was then the next day. Last week you heard that Jesus had put the disciples into the boat so that they could go across, and Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. Do you remember one of the temptations that the devil gave to Jesus? "Jesus, you must be hungry. 40 days without any eating any bread. Change these stones into bread." And do you remember what Jesus said to the disciple, to the devil that many years before? "Man shall not live by bread alone." He should not live by that kind of physical bread alone. Here, boy, the temptation was there again, wasn't it? Here, all these people came and they were all excited about Jesus, and boy, Jesus could have been pretty popular. You know, the way that we could feed the world if Jesus would continue with that feeding of the 5,000. These people had come, and they wanted Jesus to do that again, to give them free meal, to give them free bread, and to feed them once again. So the next day, they come, and they're looking for Jesus. They get into boats, and they go on up to Capernaum, and you remember, Jesus had walked there, here, walked on the water, remember? And the disciples got there as well. And isn't it fascinating that Jesus let them find him? You know, Jesus could have hidden from them. Jesus could have not even been there because he knew what they wanted. He knew they wanted a handout once again. But Jesus is so gracious. Jesus is so loving. He knows exactly what they needed. He knows exactly what we need. And so he let them find him. And when he let them find him, he says to them, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." He knew they were a very materialistic people. He knew that they were only there because they wanted a handout once again. They wanted their needs right now satisfied by Jesus. They really weren't too interested in Jesus himself as much as they were what Jesus would give to them. Are things any different today? Are things any different even for those of us in the church? Are things any different? When is it that we especially pray to Jesus? When is it especially that we come to Jesus? When we have some kind of special need that we have, and we forget maybe sometimes, maybe too often, how very, very special and how precious that he is. I marvel at the loving patience of Jesus, and yet I rejoice in it too. I marvel at how patient that he was. You know, he could have said, "I know what you want, go home." He could have said, "You're not really here for what I'm coming to give to you, so just go your way." Instead, he wanted to really feed them. Jesus really wants to feed us as well. And how wonderful that is, that he really wants to feed us. The great patience that he gives. The people then challenged Jesus. Jesus has said, "I know while you're here for another handout. I want to give to you the food that lasts to eternal life. I want to give to you the real bread of life myself." But the people challenged Jesus, and they said, "What miraculous sign will you do that we will see it and believe it? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and it was written, 'He gave them bread from heaven.'" They were challenging Jesus. "Prove it, Jesus. Do it again. Give to us at least bread for 40 years as the God did for the people in the Old Testament." But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to prove anything to the people or to do those kinds of things, but he wanted to really save them. He wanted to give to them the lasting bread of life, the true bread that would really feed them. He wanted to give to them much more than just the manna. And so Jesus warns them, don't try and get just the food that spoils. Don't spend your entire time working for the things of this world, the things that spoil, the things that just clutter up. Oh my, we Americans have garages full of stuff. We even rent storage space so that we can put some of our stuff in the storage space because we don't have room for the stuff that we are getting here more and more. This food that spoils, these things that never satisfy. Isn't it interesting that we have such a wonderful message for the world? The world that is seeking to be satisfied, and they're trying in all these different ways. And the only message and the only answer to truly be satisfied is in Jesus, who is the true bread of life. Oh, how people are seeking those kinds of things. In fact, Jesus, even in his day, the disciples of his day also were seeking some kind of satisfaction. They were trying to figure out some way of being satisfied. And Jesus spoke many, many times about this. You remember the parable that he told about the rich fool. The rich fool who thought he had storehouses full. He had all kinds of things. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry, because I've got all of this there. And do you remember what Jesus said in the parable? You fool. You're foolish when you think that this is what's going to satisfy. You're foolish if you think this is the real bread. This night your soul is required of you, and then who's going to get all your stuff? Wow, what a parable that Jesus told to warn against the food that never satisfies, the bread that truly spoils. Jesus would teach us, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Work for the food that endures to eternal life. Now, the people still didn't understand it. Many people don't today either. Wow, how do I work for that kind of food? How do I work, or what do I do to get Jesus in order to eat that? Well, Jesus comes and he says, the work of God. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work is to believe. Believe is a gift of God that God gives to us. And so, as Jesus says, don't work for the food that spoils. Don't spend so much time on the things of this world, but instead, to believe is to receive. The work that God would have us to do is to rejoice in our baptism. We heard the words of the invocation as we began. We hear the waters bubbling here again. Do we remember the blessings of our baptism, the gracious gift that we receive, the bread of life that he gives to us in the scriptures and in the Bible, the daily devotions that we have, the family devotions, the reading of scriptures, the scriptures that are in our memories and in our minds and that we think of? Do we rejoice in, again tonight, being able to come and to receive Christ's true body and blood, the true bread of life that he gives to us? That's doing the work of God. That's receiving the more than manna, receiving Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus spoke so often about this, trying to turn his disciples and us, our eyes away from just this life to the things that last, to eternal life. Again, I share with you another story that I think that you're very familiar with, those two friends of Jesus, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But Mary and Martha, you recall that as he went to that house, here Martha was working for the food that spoils. You know, dinner was getting cold, or dinner was spoiling, or who knows what it was. And remember, Martha was getting all worked up about the food that spoils. But Mary, she understood. And you remember what Jesus said to Martha. You're worried and upset about many things. But the one thing that's really needful is hearing Jesus' word and listening to Jesus' word. To be in Jesus, in his presence and with him and listening and hearing that message. And so Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Martin Luther again helps us out with that in that third article of the Apostles' Creed, where it says, what does it mean to believe? And he says to us, you remember, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me. Martin Luther helps us to know this truth of Scripture, that to do the works of God is to believe. To believe is to receive what God the Holy Spirit gives to us through all the gifts that he gives. Is that why you're here tonight? Did you come hungry? Did you come hungry for Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ comes and feeds us again tonight with his very body and blood, with his very word, with his reminder of baptism. He comes and gives us the food that lasts to eternal life. Oh, what a banquet Jesus gives to us. Oh, what a special gift that he gives. Now, as he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he reminds us that certainly he gives us the bread that spoils. He gives us the food that perishes and spoils, but he gives to us so very much more. He gives to us himself. Again tonight, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he gives it to us to eat and to drink. Now, just like knowing the ingredients of the bread, knowing who the baker was, knowing which grocery store you bought your bread from, doesn't make any difference, does it? What you need to do is you need to eat that bread, and it needs to get inside of you and work inside of you. Just knowing some things about Jesus, just knowing maybe the answer to some questions or whatever it might be, just going through the motions of it doesn't really help us. Jesus being inside of us, Jesus working inside of us and being a very part of us, Jesus being a part of us as we live out in that world, that's the true eating and the living of Jesus Christ. May that be true for you and for me as we go out into a starving world who needs to know about the real bread of life, Jesus Christ. And we can share with them, Jesus gives to us much more than manna. In his precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus, the true bread of life, feeding us and being fed by him until life everlasting. Amen.